Masters, we know why you're doing it. Come on, Masters. Get your shortwave working. Notify the factory office. Where's the bomb, Norden? Come on, speak up, or I'll pull you to pieces. But it's urgent. Life or death. We've got to use your telephone. Or you call the office. Tell the super there's a bomb in the plant. I know what it was. Has anyone come out of here since the factory stopped working? See that thing? It means death to you, to all of us, if it finds us. The Sergeant of the Guard, probably all the other sentries are dead. Every workman in the plant is dead. Somehow we were missed. The searchlight power went off before they found this post, I suppose. Now then, all of you follow Masters back to the car. I'll bring up the rear. If you don't want to be left here alone, follow us. I don't know that I blame him much. Look at the plant. Norden's bomb never had a chance. Compared with what actually happened in there, a bomb would have been a picnic. There's not a living person left in the whole place. They're all dead. That's the best I can describe this force, Masters. I might call it heat bolts, but it's probably partly electric and partly heat. Not entirely either. You see, Masters, heat is energy, just like electricity and light. The energy those spheres shoot out is a mixture of energies. We can imagine a spark of electricity shooting out and striking a man like a bolt of lightning, but it's hard to visualize heat behaving that way. What's your name, soldier? All right, Private Pember. You can carry this, fellow. If it will make you feel any easier, Pember, I can assure you the exigencies demanded your removal from your post. Your life was in danger, and you could do no good by remaining there. In fact, there was nothing left to guard. You can do more good for your country by coming with us. You're a good soldier, Pember. A situation like this is unique. It demands use of individual initiative, rather than blind obedience to orders. Do you understand? We don't know the real natures of anything, as far as that goes. Man's a mixture of chemicals, but that doesn't explain him. The spheres are a mixture of energies. We can observe that much. But it still doesn't explain them. Where are they from? Why did they come here? What are their primary objectives? Partly military and partly scientific. We know the secondary objective of the spheres. It's the same as man's or any other living creature. The spheres are alive, and their objective is to keep on living. But that isn't their primary motif. The primary objective is the difference between a good man and a bad one. Whatever is more important to a man than life itself is his primary objective. Yes, but life isn't everything. Any man, no matter how yellow or mean he is, has some ideal he's willing to die for. Or at least, he's willing to risk dying to attain. Look at Norden. He's hard, cold-blooded, and doesn't think twice about putting a bomb in a plant to wipe out scores of lives. He dared me to kill him, rather than help us. His code as a spy is his primary objective. Look at Pember. He must have been frightened by the spheres, but we had to force him to leave his post. We've shown him that his duty now is with us. He realizes that the spheres are the immediate enemy of his country, and he'll do his best fighting them. And you and I have ideals. We know each other too well to list them. A conquest of the human race? Maybe. But it isn't likely. They can't gain much by conquering us. It wouldn't do man any good to stage a conquest of earthworms and swordfish, since neither could pay taxes. The spheres are as different from man as man from an angleworm. Are we a menace to the spheres? Apparently, the only time we really menace them is when we crawl into a hole like a rabbit. Maybe there's something in that that will help us. I don't think that's why they kill us. Are we a nuisance? If so, why? Are we a food? There is energy and sunlight and chemicals in the human body.